The podcast with everything paranormal. It's the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your host, America's sweetheart, Joe Shortridge.
Yeah.
And his dingy sister. Hi, everybody.
What is shaking?
Welcome back to the show. Good to be with you guys in your car or headphones or however
you're listening. Good looking to. Listener.
You all are yes. The sexy mofos. We got some good looking listeners for sure. What's going on, my brother?
Nothing.
Well, let's tell everybody a little bit about our adventure last weekend.
Yeah.
We had an exciting night of ghost hunting.
Finally got to go to the Old Lincoln County Jail in Newark, Ohio. We've been talking about going there forever.
It was amazing. What a really, really awesome place to ghost hunt. I loved it.
And that was your first time ever there, too, wasn't it? Yeah. Because I did the tour thing.
Saw the outside. One time you and I were coming through Athens. Newark. I don't know why I want to call it Athens. It's not Athens, Newark. And looked at the outside. But, you know, it's so interesting that a jail would be I don't want to say it's small because it's not a small jail, but comparison to what we have now.
Yeah, it's small.
To Mansfield or something, yeah.
What was there, like, was it 4 cells per side?
I think so. 4 or 5 per side, 3 floors of cells.
Well, no, it was actually 4. Okay. 3 for men and 1 for the top one for women.
I forgot.
And the top one for the women was only, yeah, that's what it was. It was 4 cells each side. So you had 8 cells on the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 5 cells, because they were smaller, the women's cells were bigger than the men's.
Wow.
And they had real porcelain toilets.
I know.
But what's interesting, though, is that jail, it didn't have electricity or plumbing when they opened, because it opened in the mid 1890 or something like that. I can't remember the exact date, but it had no plumbing and no electric. So
this is how poor the conditions were. This is why people say you don't want to go to jail. Now it's different.
Now it's different
and stuff. But back in the day, people literally they had one bucket of water for all of the prisoners to share.
Yeah.
For washing, for drinking, for whatever. One bucket.
One bucket. And if the first person took their bath in it, and I don't know when they say in it, I don't know if it was a big one but the first person used clean water and the last person used the water from every other prisoner on that floor. And it was only, each floor had 10, I think it was 10, but I'll just say 10, 10 cells. Designed for 2 people per cell. At their heyday, it was 6 people per cell. And these cells are 5 foot by 6 foot with the metal bunks on the walls.
Metal bunks.
And they, like you said, no heat and no air conditioning. So, and it was an open air jail, which meant the windows just had bars over. They had no glass in the windows.
Can you imagine 4 degrees, you know, like Ohio gets super cold in the winter.
Yeah.
Being like 4 degrees below zero, no windows, you're in a metal cell with 6 other people.
I didn't even think about that.
No running water.
They had the metal bunks, and I'm sure the mattresses were paper thin.
If they even had one.
Yeah.
So there would be somebody sleeping on the cement floor under the metal bunk, on a metal bunk, and then somebody on top of that metal bunk.
Yeah.
It was so crazy in there. Sure. And there's just so much to tell you guys. Oh my gosh. Go ahead, Joe.
But I was just thinking too, the way that those bunks are, the first bunk is only like 6 inches off the floor.
Yeah.
And it's not movable. So that was where it was at.
So this prison in Ohio, you could have been sent there for anything. If you were a truant child, they had children in there.
8-year-old kids.
8-year-old kids
in jail.
Prison with prisoners.
Yeah, with murderers.
Murderers, rapists, thieves, you know, drunks. You could have just been a derelict woman.
Yeah.
And get thrown in
the
there.
The husband could have said that she didn't do the dishes or something. And
yeah. She was disobedient.
Disobedient woman.
Whatever.
But it happened.
So Joe and I feel like we're ghost anti-magnets sometimes.
Oh, my God.
But there was a couple of times up in the women's cell that I went into one of the cells where the woman had hung herself.
Mm-hmm.
She had tried to commit suicide earlier in the day by taking sleeping pills. So then they pumped her stomach and sent her back to the prison. So apparently somehow she got these sleeping pills in the prison. But, you know, it was way different back.
Yeah.
This was in the early 1900s. And she ended up hanging herself. But that room felt really, I felt like somebody was like behind you. You know what I mean? You just have that instinctual feeling that, but there was nobody in there. So that was weird. That was interesting. Just felt like I wasn't alone in the cell, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I was creeping myself out or really there was something there. I think I saw a couple shadow figures. There was something interesting in the basement. Mm-hmm. When you were standing along the wall, there was something that kind of peeked out from that room that you were behind. And that was interesting, but that place isn't really fun. I would have loved to have been in there just a couple people, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the people you went with are awesome, but I would love to be able to just go
by
myself and see what happens. How the jail's set up is there's a central hallway down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like service hallways on each side of the, like the outside wall.
Mm-hmm.
And through the center, when they close the doors, they're actual solid metal doors. There's no windows at all in them.
Yeah.
The only window that was in there was like a half inch tall by a 1 inch hole at the top that when the door's all the way open, there's a bracket that goes through it and they could put a lock in it so they'd keep the door open.
Oh, okay.
And
wondered what that was for.
Yeah, if there was like a little bracket that was hanging on the wall that folded up. But when the doors are shut, they're shut.
Yeah.
And you can't see the person across from you or nothing. But anyways, I was walking through the hallway there of one of the floors that something major happened on. And it's part of the history of it. And we can get into that later. But it was a part, it was a guy where one of the guys that was murdered and ripped apart in his cell.
Oh, yeah.
But anyhow, I was walking down that hallway and all of a sudden I've got like a magnetic feeling in my legs.
Really?
And it was like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it just reminded me in my mind of a magnetic feeling. Like I couldn't move. But the whole night, that's really the only activity that I got. I got nothing the rest of the night.
Yeah. I don't know. We did have one really cool thing come over on the spirit box.
Oh, yeah.
We had, we were just asking random questions, as you do when you're ghost hunting. And it clear as day said, prison.
Yeah. I forgot about that. And then we were doing the
Estes
thing again,
mm-hmm.
which I like doing now. I think that's cool. I want to do that in all
areas. For our listeners who don't know what the Estes method is basically you take the spirit box, you have noise-canceling headphones, and all you hear is the spirit box in there. You can't hear the outside sounds, and then you blindfold yourself. So you are focused solely on what the spirit box is saying. So people are asking questions. You can't hear what they're asking, and you're just repeating what the spirit box says.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a blind experiment. That way people who are asking questions are hearing what, you know, like if I had the headphones on and I heard something say like Barbara, which I did there. I don't know what they're asking.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what I hear on the spirit box, which was so much fun.
Well, when you had it on, the answer, and I know they recorded it, but the answers were relevant to what we were asking. And when I had it on, I really don't know if I said the right things or not, but when I had it on, it sounded like you guys were at a party. I mean, I could hear, you know, I could kind of hear you guys. I couldn't really understand what you were saying, but I knew that you guys were talking. It sounded like you guys were having a party, like Like just talk. And you guys, I guess you weren't. I guess you were just asking questions like normal. But me, I could hear all kinds of people talking, but it sounded like you guys, but apparently it wasn't. I don't know.
That's interesting. I don't know. You know, that place was really cool. Now, there have been reports of, like, very, you know, aggressive things happening to, like, the tour guides and things like that. And some, you know, interesting things. Of course, you know, it doesn't come on command, so.
Yeah. You know, it sure doesn't when I'm there.
I would love to go back. But, you know, and I honestly, I don't even think I got into all of the floors. I think I don't even think I got on the second or first floor. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to investigate down in the basement.
No. Now,
we went in the basement.
I did a little bit, but I didn't get nothing. Yeah,
but I didn't get down there for an investigation part at all just because I was so busy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much to do there. But I don't know. If you guys want to check it out, it's called the Old Licking County Jail. It's in Newark, Ohio. Fantastic place to ghost hunt. You know, lots of history. There's a little museum and gift shop in there. And definitely check it out. But I think it's worth the drive.
Yeah, it is. It's a 3-hour drive from Toledo. But when I was there doing the walkthrough tour, it was just Friday night. Me and Tracy were in town. And we went to the barbecue place. And I was like, the jail's open. Let's go do a tour. It was a Friday night. So we did the walkthrough tour. And there's a cell with a music box in it. And I know I've told this story before on the show, but I'm going to bug you guys again with it. But the music box started playing as we were walking by that cell. And I heard it with my own ears. Not with someone else's ears. I heard it with my own. And I went in there and I'm like, okay, they advertise this as a very haunted jail. They want ghost hunters there. They mentioned about the music box, and I heard it playing. So I'm like, it's rigged. You know, it's a rigged up thing where they're trying to get people excited about it. I went in there, and it's not. There was nothing hooked up to this music box.
It's crazy.
There was no wires going to it. There was no battery in it, nothing. And I heard it. But when we were there last weekend, it didn't do anything.
Yeah, it was there. It was sitting there. But yeah, that's a famous cell of one of the female prisoners who, I don't know, did she take her life?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
She took her life at the prison.
Yeah.
There. Yeah, so.
Now, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I did talk to the girl that gave us the tour. And asked her if she wanted to do a show. Mm-hmm. And she loves talking about the jail, but she doesn't like hearing her own voice on the radio. So she said that she's like, no, I don't want to do it. She says, but I'll find out if somebody else wants to. So I want to set up a interview with them so that we can actually get them on the show. That and maybe great. We'll do it live down there at the jail.
That
I don't
would
know.
Be amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, so. Guys, check it out. I'm sure they have a Facebook page and you know, tells all the interesting things.
One thing that's really cool is the basement used to be a dirt floor.
That's right.
And that was where the drunk tank was.
Yeah.
They had, you'll have to look it up, but there was a woman also that they brought in there and she murdered her husband and she was supposed to be one of the nicest people they've ever met. Yeah. Also, though, the drunk tank was right there in the basement.
Yeah.
And they said that it was a dirt floor and the drunks would throw up, go to the bathroom, all that right there. And they would just push the dirt over it. So you can imagine what the place was like. I mean, no electricity, no running water for the first years that it was open. And could you imagine the stench? And
this is the thing I was telling everybody when we were there, you know, In the fall in going into winter, you know, in Ohio, it starts getting dark at 5 o'clock. So like by 5:30, it was dark out. So imagine no lights from like 5:30 till like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You're just in there.
Ice cold.
Yeah, don't want to go to prison, kids. Please don't ever go to prison.
And that's what I said.
I don't have bail money for all of you.
If the prisons were like that nowadays, like it was then, maybe there'd be less people going.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll save that for another show, that discussion.
Basically on this show, our topic, even though we've been babbling for 15 minutes.
Babbling.
Is ghost ships.
So, you know, Joe and I have done a show before on this topic, but there's so many cool new stories out right now. We found some new really spooky tales about ghost ships. And I always think about ghost ships this time of year just because, okay, so I'm driving to work. And right now, because we're in that season, the water temperature is very warm, but the air is cold. So when you get that, when you're driving next to Lake Erie, like I do every single day, you see the fog just rising up from the water.
Yeah.
And it's so weird. Like this morning, it was like coming up in little pillars almost.
Huh.
Like hundreds of little pillars of like fog. It was just so eerie. And it just made me think of like, when you see that kind of fog, that's when you see the ghost ships.
Yeah.
And I really just wanted to bring you guys some updated tales of horror. Scotty.
And
I love doing that voice.
I know that you guys are all over the world.
Yes.
But here in Ohio, Michigan, in 1970 something, I forget the date. I forget the date, but in
1975.
Okay. 1975, the Edmund Fitzgerald went down on November 10th. So around here, it was all the talk of the town right now because every time, you know, the anniversary comes up, mm-hmm. it's a big deal around here.
Well, we had crew members from Toledo
yeah.
who perished on there. So there's a great tie to our community and all of Michigan and the Great Lakes because it was such a tragic tale of the Edmund Fitzgerald sinking in a freak November storm.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe did a really great job on our show all about the Edmund Fitzgerald sinking, just telling the timeline.
Yeah.
Of, like,
it was
these
very
poor
interesting.
Guys knew that they were going down and
yeah.
there was nothing they could do.
They were in distress and they knew that the ship was kind of falling apart because of the waves. There were like 30-foot waves.
That's crazy.
So what they think is the ship, I know that the plates on top of the ship that keep the water from going into the holds,
mm-hmm.
they broke a few of those, the joint, you know, the clamps, they broke a few clamps.
Mm-hmm.
And the railing, which you say railing on the side of the ship, but the railing is just a big, like, steel rope.
Mm.
That actually snapped, which
oh.
told me that the ship was bending.
Oh my gosh.
So it would crest on waves and actually bend either in or out. And they said that that was going, and then the radar dish broke off, which means the waves hit the top of the ship. So they think that the ship crested a wave and then on the downward just mm-hmm. kept going right into the under the water, and that's how they died.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? Because like they were trying to reach them. There were ships so close, but they just couldn't get
yeah.
there in time. And it's just crazy to think, because we've gone and we've looked at these ships. Now, if you guys want to go and see a freighter in person, you can go downtown Toledo. There is the Museum of the Great Lakes, and it has one of these freighters parked outside. It's a part of the museum.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually go on it. I don't know if it's open right now. It's usually open from like May to September.
Yeah, in the warm weather.
Yeah, but they're ginormous.
It is. And it's the same size as what the Edmund Fitzgerald was.
It's huge. And to think that this ship was just tossed around like a toy, and you just don't realize when you say the Great Lakes, okay, you know, you may have 2 or 3 foot waves. These were 30-foot waves.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
It has, our Great Lakes have weather on them like the oceans do.
Yeah.
And to think of a ship that big just nosediving underwater and going right to the bottom, because they think that's what happened, because the way that the metal is on the deck,
mm-hmm.
it looks like the ship was pushing through water at a very high speed.
And just think the fate of those men. So, like, they knew they were in trouble. And they could hear people saying, we're 3 miles out.
Yeah.
And knowing that you couldn't, where could you go? You can't jump off the side. No. You're going to drown anyways because of the storm.
And the cold weather.
The water's ice cold in November. And then you stay inside. You know your fate. You just have to wait for the water to fill the cabin you're in.
Well, I think that it went faster than that because the way that they think that it went under, it was just, like I said, they think that it crested a wave. Now, think about like a small boat on a wave, how the nose goes down and sometimes goes a little bit underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a 30-foot wave and I think it's 800-foot ship, they think that it just nosed in and just kept going straight down. So those guys didn't. It's like seconds, and all of a sudden they're 100 feet underwater.
Wow. It's sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad. And it's spooky. Now, have you ever been to the Maritime Museum or the Mariners Church in Detroit?
No.
So there's a church in Detroit that's dedicated to all of the members of the Maritime incidents, and I think it's mostly the Edmund Fitzgerald. We should go there sometime. Yeah. I think that would be
really
interesting.
And I've been to Whitefish Point, where that's what they were heading for.
Yeah.
And I've seen the bell from the, you know, the wreck and everything.
There is in the museum downtown Toledo some artifacts from the Edmund Fitzgeralds, if you guys are interested.
Also, if you go to Michigan Paracon, there's a ship there that's the same type of ship.
Mm-hmm.
Camp Verde, they call it. That's a haunted ship also.
Yeah.
And they have ghost hunts on the ship. And there's the life raft or lifeboats off the Edmund Fitzgerald. Now, it was never launched because it went so fast, but it looks like it's been beat in a major car wreck or whatever you want to say, where it's all twisted and broken up.
Okay, I have a question about ghost hunting. Okay, say, for example, you go down to one of these wrecks. Now, is that illegal because there's bodies and they're like, be considered a gravesite?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Edmund Fitzgerald is off limits to divers now.
Oh, okay. I just wondered because I thought, if you went down there and you had like some, I know this sounds really dumb, but underwater ghost hunting equipment.
Which would be easy to do. I mean, seal them up in a plastic box.
Yeah, like, would you get evidence?
That is something to think about, because think about all these ghost ships not so much these ones that we were talking about today, but think about all the ships that have sunk, like the Edmund Fitzgerald, like the Titanic.
Yeah.
I mean, the Titanic still has people down with the ship.
Yeah.
The bodies are I know the Great Lakes and especially the Edmund Fitzgerald, the bodies are still down there.
Yeah.
And they're preserved because of the cold water.
Yeah. And there's not salt water.
Mm-mm.
So, I just saw this the other day that the Titanic is rusting. It's deteriorating.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be gone in a couple of decades. It will be totally gone.
There's parts of it that they can't even touch because they're so fragile.
Oh. So crazy to think about that.
And that's another thing, too, is I've never heard of any ghost stories from the Edmund Fitzgerald. Nothing from the families, nothing from the ports they're supposed to be at, nothing from Whitefish Point, anything like that. I've never heard ghost stories.
Okay, so if any of you have investigated, you know, in and around something to do with ghost ships, please let us know. I'd love to hear your stories. Get you on the air. Okay, so I have a couple of like really interesting spooky ghost stories.
Okay.
From around the world here. And these are from modern day to super old. Like, you know, it's across the board here. Let me start with this one here. So this one is coming out of Chile, off the coast of Chile. So there's a boat called El Calaluche. Calaluche. I hope I'm saying that right.
With his shirt.
I'm probably saying like the dog's bottom or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Sounds like a ship that wears no shirts.
Yes. And gold chains. Hot stuff. muy caliente. Okay, so this was off the coastal waters of Chile. It always sails at night and appears suddenly through fog or mist, brightly lit. See, we're going back to the fog or mist again.
Whenever you're out ghost hunting or if you're out in the woods, don't ever go into the fog.
Yeah, right. You'll never come back. They say that it guards the water and punishes those who bring hardship to the sea or the creatures that live in it. The ship's crew was said to consist of dead shipwrecked sailors along with witches. The witches were said to have leave the ship by riding a seahorse named Caballo Marino Bringingham. That's the name of the seahorse. Apparently, the witches and shipwrecked sailors are a happy crew. On a calm night, it said music and laughter can also often be heard coming from the ship. Ooh, check it out. Okay, here's another one. This is what's interesting. On May 19th, 1845, two ships, the HMS Erebus and the HMS Terror, departed England and set sail for the Canadian Arctic. Their goal was to travel through the treacherous waters of the Northwest Passage that is separated by the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans. Led by Sir John Franklin, the ships were going out to collect samples and do scientific studies along the way. So, you know, 1845, they're looking for weird stuff out there. Out of the 134 officers and men on the expedition, not one of them returned. So later discovered by a rescue mission, ships had become trapped in the ice off of King William's Island in the Canadian Arctic. Franklin, the captain, died on June 11th, 1847. Now, the ships were abandoned on April 22nd, 1848. So the initial survivors attempted to cross the ice to reach safety on the Canadian mainland, but never made it.
Ooh.
So they got frozen in the ice and decided to take their chances and just trying to get to land, and they all perished.
I think I know that story where they half the crew left in one of the lifeboats to try to make it, you know, back. Mm-hmm. And the other half said that they would stay. The ship broke free, drifted a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they all perished and became a ghost ship where it just floated around.
Yeah, that's, you know, interesting that you say that, because weren't you just looking at a story where they were off the coast of Australia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a modern one. That is the story of the Kaz 2 was the name of the ship or boat. It was a 33-foot catamaran that left for a trip all the way around Australia on April 15th, 2007. It was spotted on the 18th by a helicopter by the Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, wow.
And they said about the helicopter said that the boats seemed to be drifting, but they couldn't see anybody on crew on board. But it was a catamaran that had it's a modern catamaran that has a like living areas inside, so they couldn't see inside. So they kind of figured out that they were just looking at the Great Barrier Reef. Well, a couple days later, on the 20th, officials saw it again, and this time the officials were on boat, so they went up to approach it because it seemed like it was drifting with no crew. They came up and got on board of it,
mm-hmm.
and found that it was empty, drifting by itself. The three men on board were one guy and two brothers, and they were very experienced. I mean, like 40 years of sailing.
Okay.
And this was a modern, brand new catamaran with all the GPS type stuff, all the, you know, radar, good working radio, good working computers, everything. And they found that everything was in working order, the motors, everything. It's just that the three crewmen vanished. Now, when they boarded this boat, they actually found hot food on the table, ready to be ate, and a cigar burning in an ashtray. But yet, No one was around. The men have never been seen to this day. They just vanished.
Incredible.
And they have no clue whatever happened to them.
I don't know. Maybe it was aliens.
Yeah. The bodies were never found. Now, that's kind of what happens, too, right now, is vessels from North Korea are showing up in Japan, sometimes with dead crewmen, sometimes without crewmen on board. And they're calling these ghost ships because they're just ships or boats that are floating without a crew. And there's been several of them. Mm-hmm. There was one found where the one crewman was alive, but he was so incoherent, he couldn't talk. He doesn't, they couldn't find out whatever happened to him because it was like he, I don't know what the term is, but he just couldn't talk and was like almost comatose, but awake.
Wow.
And this happens, has been happening a lot, showing up on the shores in Japan.
I wonder if there's like pirates that are getting these people or.
Well, that's one of the theories.
Ate by giant squids.
Giant squids, yeah. That's one of the theories, is that they're just being kidnapped. But this is happening so often. And the thing is, when they find the crew members dead on the boats, there's no sign that there was anything, like nothing stolen.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
That's so interesting. There was a Danish Asiatic Company's sailing ship in 1928 that had left the port of Rio de la Plata, and that's an area that's between like Uruguay and Argentina, and they were en route to Australia. The ship was noted for having five masts. She was a beautiful, well-found, fitted vessel. It had a wireless radio, auxiliary engine, lifeboats. The training ship, it had a crew of 60 men, most of them who were cadets and from some, prominent Danish families. Now, this ship was in touch through radio with a Norwegian steamer, the William Blummer, and on December 21st, it was never heard from again. So the last time they heard from him was on December 21st. So some of the theories were that it struck an iceberg or it was in darkness or fog. But people have been reporting sightings of this Phantom 5-masted vessel from 1930 up until 2012. And they actually, in 2012, found a wreck, which they thought was that ship.
Oh.
So, like, the sighting stopped once they found the ship.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting. Maybe they, they just kept appearing because they wanted people to know whatever happened to them. That was a lot of people on that ship.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I thought maybe that story there that you were talking about was the one I heard about, where off the coast of Africa in a regular shipping channel where modern ships go through, they say that on the foggy nights, they can hear what sounds like one of the old wooden ships, with the tall ships they call them, with the mast and everything, the creaking sounds and everything. They hear that over the water. And they also hear like sounds of men yelling and stuff, but there's nothing on radar. And as they're looking out, sometimes I've heard so many stories of sometimes they actually see the shadows of ships.
Wow.
But they never actually see the ships, but yet they can hear as if one of those ships are going by with all the men on board and all the creaking sounds from the, old style ships.
I want to see one.
Yeah.
It sounds like the Black Pearl.
Black Pearl. And Jack Sparrow.
Star Sparrow. Yeah, I think that would be interesting. Do you remember, I don't remember when it was, but at one point in time, okay, Toledo used to be really fun. We used to have like hydroplane races, but the tall ships came through Toledo. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
There was like all these old like pirate ships and tall ships. They all came through Toledo and docked.
Yeah.
It was like a big thing in our city. It was so interesting.
You used to have all that kind of stuff.
You know, it would be interesting too to like put a camera up on the Maumee River and just see if we would ever be able to capture you know, some
ghost boats going through.
Ghost boats. Yeah. Mamba in his boat. Mamba. Mamba's one of our family friend. He's passed on, but he loved his boat had.
Yes, his last boat that he had, the voyage trip that me and him went out on, and he's had this boat for a little bit before I got a chance to go out on it, and he took us out. We got out by the lighthouse, and the boat died.
I remember that.
And I'm like, trying to figure out, I'm like, we're out of gas. He's like, well, the gauge has been on full for years, so we shouldn't be out of gas.
Oh, God. You could have been a ghost ship passenger. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
We had to call our brother-in-law to get a hold of our friend that has a boat, and he came out like 2 hours later and got us.
Stuck 2 hours in a floating boat in Lake Erie with and Mamba.
We couldn't fish because we were in the channel, in the shipping channel.
Oh, God.
So we just sat there.
Wah, wah, wah. Now, there was another sighting, which is interesting because it showed up on a documentary. They actually caught images of this. So in 1878, the HMS Eurydice, Royal Naval Training Ship, was lost while sailing near the Isle of Wight. Now, that's a small island that's off the coast of England. A sudden snowstorm sunk the vessel and killed 364 crew members, what they thought was like on a calm day. The storm came on so suddenly the ship didn't even have time to react. Now, can you imagine, like, 365 men just
gone? Yeah.
Terrible. They said that this ship had full sailed with her guns ports open before disappearing in the midst of the blizzard. It was ultimately, there were two survivors, but the ship refloated, but it was heavily damaged and scrapped. So it must have sank. Everybody died, and then it popped back up. Crazy. So, you know, there's been all of these ghost stories that this area where it sank of hauntings and sightings of the ship. So sailors and visitors have been witnessing sightings of the ghost ship off the Isle of Wight. In 1930, a submarine, reported encountering the ghostly vessel. And they did a documentary in 1998. And Prince Edward, who was Charles's brother, he reportedly saw the ship while they were filming this ITV documentary in 1998. Oh, really? So, yeah, there's kind of like really interesting because the royals and the British monarchy is just, there's so many tales of ghosts with all of their castles, yeah, and, you know, just all of England. I think it's haunted. I think it is. And then we need to go there.
One of the other, and this is a really popular one, is the Flying Dutchman.
Yes. Yes.
Another popular one that probably everybody knows about is the Flying Dutchman. It left Amsterdam for the East Indies in 1641. Never to return. The story goes that the ship is doomed to sail the seas forever. The Dutchman is regarded by superstitious sailors to be an ominous sight of trouble to come.
Ooh.
So if they see that,
like a warning.
Yeah.
What is they say? They say.
What is they say?
What? Red skies at night, sailors delight. Mm-hmm. Red skies in the morning, sailor take warning.
Yep.
So there was red skies tonight, actually. We had a really awesome, like, sunset today.
One of the things I want to mention here also is it's not a ship, mm-hmm, but it's a plane.
Okay.
But it was such an interesting story. I want to talk about it.
Cool.
Okay, so it is the story of the Pan Am Flight 914. Okay. It was a Douglas DC-10 with 57 passengers and 6 crewmen aboard. It left New York for Miami. I'm going to Miami. Okay, so the date was July 2nd, 1955. The flight was scheduled to last only a couple hours, but it never arrived in Miami. So it took off. The skies were clear. There were no cloud cover. As it left New York, The New York Control was watching the plane as it vanished off their radar. As New York Control was watching the plane take off and they had it on its radar, they're watching it take off and it got out of visual sight, but they were still watching it on radar. And all of a sudden it just bleeped off radar. So they were like kind of freaking out thinking that it crashed. Mm-hmm. And it was flying over the ocean going down to Miami. Instead of showing up in Miami, it just disappeared and they never heard from it again. Well, on March 9th of 1985, Caracas Airport noticed a plane just all of a sudden appeared on their radar and was flying in, but they had no radio communication with the plane. They kept calling it. The tower, once they had visual contact of the plane, it was an old airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And they just noticed that it was an old Douglas DC-4 that was flying in, and they were thinking, well, maybe this is someone that had an old plane and they're flying in with no radio.
Oh.
The plane landed, and as it was taxiing up to where they would let the passengers out, ground crew could actually see inside the plane and see that the people inside the plane were freaking out and the pilots were freaking out. So they radioed, finally, the tower got a hold of the person flying. So apparently they landed. The pilot called the tower and said, "Where are we?" And they said, "You're in Caracas." And they were like, "We're flight 914. We're supposed to be landing in Miami." The pilot was freaking out. So he asked them, "What's going on?" And they said, "What's your call sign?" And he said, "We're flight 914 from New York to Miami." And they're like, "We have nothing about you on our thing." And one of the people in the tower said, "Wait a minute. Flight 914 disappeared in 1955. And the pilot was like, "What year is this?" And they said, "This is 1985. And the pilot was freaking out because they said that the people in the windows could actually see the buildings and everything's brand new.
Oh my goodness.
So the pilot started freaking out and said, "Seriously, what year is that? What's going on?" The pilot, then ground crew said, "This is the year 1995. You've been missing since 1955.
So did they come back as old people or did they come back as young men?
They were all as if it was a two-hour flight or whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
So all the people on the plane were all young, where they should have been 30 years older.
Oh, my God.
So
I wonder if they're still alive.
Don't know, because the pilot freaked out, turned the plane around, and took off. As it took off, it's reported that it vanished again, and they've never been seen since.
Oh, I got goosebumps on that one. That's pretty crazy.
It's a really popular... Now, who knows if it's true, but it's a popular story that's going around.
It's a ghost story.
Yeah.
Ghosty, ghosty, Joe.
So it came, you know, it wasn't a ship, but it came through time.
Yeah. So interesting. Okay, here's a good one.
All right.
So this one's here in the United States. So it's called the Carol A. Deering. So the fate of the crew of the five-masted schooner Carol A. Deering was ran aground off North Carolina in January of 1921. It was investigated by no less than five U.S. government departments. In the process, it has become one of the most famous maritime mysteries of all. So the ship was returning to Norfolk, Virginia after delivering a consignment of coal to Rio de Janeiro. The captain, W.B. Wormwell, had drafted in on the first leg of the journey due to illness of the original captain and said to have an uneasy relationship with the crew. Thus, mutiny was suspected and most likely reason that the Carol A. Deering was found deserted after being boarded by rescuers February 14th of 1921. The ship's navigation equipment, lifeboats had been gone, but to add to the mystery, food had been prepared for the next meal.
Yeah.
So they never found what happened to the crew.
Now, that happens a lot where doing the research for this, I noticed that there's a lot of ships that just wash up on shore with no crew on them, whether it's modern or antique ships that have been missing for hundreds of years, these ships will just appear as if they've been floating for, you know, 300, 400 years. And it kind of makes you wonder, okay, even the modern ships, like the one that I talked about, the CAS-2, where the crew vanished and there was still a cigar burning on one of the ashtrays. Now, you think about that. The Coast Guard comes up to the ship. If the guys would have jumped or fell off, for one, all three of them at the same time would have, because if two fell off, the one would stay on the boat.
Right.
And there was nobody within miles because they searched.
Mm-hmm.
And these ships that just all of a sudden the crews just vanish off of, is it abductions? Is it something? I mean, it's the same thing as like the missing 411 stuff where people are walking down paths. They turn around, the person's behind them, they turn around again and they're gone and they never are found again.
Yeah. Yeah. You just don't know. That's the great mystery of it.
People vanish all the time in these kind of situations.
I mean,
whether it's ships or planes. I couldn't find it, but I remember reading a story about a plane that landed and stopped on the runway. They went out and there was no one on board.
How's that possible?
I know. And I tried to find that. I couldn't find any info on it, but I remember hearing about that story, whether now was it a dream I had, but no, I remember seeing the stories about that. How is it possible that these kind of vanishings are happening?
It's the mystery. It's like if you could find one of these people that possibly survived,
mm-hmm.
what would they tell you?
There have been situations where people have disappeared, came back, and like earlier I was talking about the ships that are showing up on Japanese shores from mm-hmm. North Korea. The one person was alive, but he couldn't talk or that. It was like...
Was he so traumatized that he...
That's what they said, oh, yeah. Okay.
So he was like in shock.
Yeah, to where it was so bad, he never talked.
Wow.
And I don't know if he recovered or whatever. Who knows, but...
Well, if you're listening, dude, call us,
yeah.
Right?
We do have listeners in Japan and Korea.
We do. Hello.
We have listeners. I had one person, it said, love your show, and his name was just circles. I don't know what language that is, but it was just circles.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was so bizarre. So,
but whoever you are, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. And all our... also want to give a shout out to all the veterans out there. Yesterday was Veterans Day, and you know, we have a great fondness. We come from a military family, so you know, for all past and present, thank you for your service. And you know, if you're listening on an airbase or a outpost somewhere,
we want
around the globe, please just
we want military stories.
Yes,
we want military ghost and UFO stories.
Yes.
If you want to get on the air and tell us your UFO stories, let us know.
Definitely. Yeah, no, that, you know, just thanks for listening, and we do appreciate everybody who's you know, served their time and for our freedom to do this podcast.
Yeah.
But anyways, you guys, listen up. Go ghost hunting. Go to Licking County Jail. Go out to Lake Erie. When it's foggy out, go take some pictures. See what comes in those pictures. You just never know.
I wonder if you went out to the shoreline and did ghost hunting, mm-hmm. you would capture anything.
That's what we got to do, Joe.
I mean, I was just thinking about it, but it would
get your new REM pod out.
Yeah, you'd almost have to go to like Whitefish Point or somewhere.
Yeah. But it would be interesting. I mean, like, you know, next time we're in the UP, we're just going to have to do it.
Yeah.
Definitely. We did try to go to Taquamanaw Falls, but we couldn't get there.
It was so busy. So many people.
Yeah, and I saw an ostrich, but it really wasn't an ostrich. It was a sand crane.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was an ostrich. I thought I was seeing a ghost, but it really wasn't. But anyways, you guys, great.
And before we let you go, I want to beg you again
senors and senoritas.
We're in the running for Best Of in Toledo, Ohio. I know you're not from Toledo, but
vote
if you could, please go to ToledoCityPaper.com under the Best Of. Click on the Best Of. It'll come up with different categories. You'll see media down towards the bottom. Click on media, pan down where the second category from the bottom, please click on 222 Paranormal Podcast. Vote for us so I can win this damn thing.
Vote for Joe. He is America's host. Awesome, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. We love having you. Come hang out with us for a little bit. Joe, thanks for everything. Hope you had a good birthday.
Yeah, I did.
Awesome. But you guys take care. We'll talk to you next week. And if you have any ghost stories, let us know.
All right, let's leave with some crud. Detroit rock and roll. Woo-hoo! Some crud.
Go Detroit.
Because this is not reality.
Awesome. It's a ghost. Bye.
Goodbye.